Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
Dusty and Cam in the morning.
Stay here. Stay as long as you can. For the love of God, cherish it.
With Dusty Hera.
That's so sad for my team and me. I'm such a big supporter.
And NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
Oh, you can count. Good for you.
And you can count on me waiting for you in the parking lot.
On 1080.
It's showtime.
The Fan.
All right, hour number two of Dusty and Cam in the morning. Thank you for being a part of our morning, letting us be a part of yours. All right, college football is up in the air in the Power Five. We were talking about that last hour, but the Big Sky made their call on Friday. They postponed the football season until the spring. And joining us now is the head football coach of the Portland State Vikings, Bruce Barnum, joining us this morning. Coach Barney, how you doing, man?
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing very well. Now, this has got to be a weird time for you. When is the last time that you had a fall where there was no football in your world?
Great question. Probably, we moved to Juneau, Alaska. They didn't have football when I was a little kid. I do remember, you know, that's a great question. But Juneau, Alaska, I think I was in sixth grade. They did not have football. My dad was in the service, and that was it. You know, August, this is a whole new world. Never seen it from this perspective.
Now, you know, last Friday, the announcement comes out, the Big Sky is postponing till the spring. How'd that conversation go with your guys? And how was that a Zoom call that you did? Did you get to talk with them in person? How did that conversation go with them?
No, everything's been Zoomed. That's once a week minimum, we get them together on Zoom, and but it's usually on Tuesday because of how it went down. We called that one as soon as we could with all the brass involved. I mean, I had from the president of the school was there, Dr. Percy, Val, you know, everybody just to answer questions. And it actually turned into the longest one we've ever had. It was about an hour and a half.
And how was it received by the players? I mean, was there an understanding of kind of what's going on? Or, you know, you hear from, you know, all these coaches, Ryan Day and Jim Harbaugh, they're very vocal about it. You know, how was it received by your guys?
Honestly, a little bit of relief. Dusty, the frustration had set in with, you know, no decisions. What are we doing? Bump back again. You know, report date August 2nd, no report date 17th, no the 24th, Big Sky, you know, because it became a, hey, we'll hear something this Friday, and then nothing, and it kept going and going. So a little bit of relief, you know, now there's some cleanup and where are we going and what are we doing and how are we doing it and what's opt out, and, you know, now it's a whole nother circus. But at least there, to that end, fall football, and there was a little bit of relief, I think.
Portland State head football coach Bruce Barnum is our guest. You know, this was a year where, you know, we talked about the recruiting class that you guys had a couple years back. You saw growth in your team last year from it. Now looking at a spring, how do you go about kind of building a schedule to where you've got to now kind of ramp things up? Did you just take a calendar that you usually have and bump it forward a few months? Or how are you guys going to attack the fall and leading into winter and spring?
Well, great question, because it affects everything. From recruiting, number one, because, you know, we have two signing dates, and right now all the high school football players are starting their season after both those signing dates. That's NCAA is going to have to step in there.
Mm-hmm.
Since they flip-flopped us, you know, our fall football is going to become spring football, and spring football is going to become fall football. On their plan right now, you know, the question there obviously is, can a guy, a student athlete playing this sport, turn around that quick and then play a fall season, you know, coming up? So disappointed I was, just because I think, you know, this was the year that all these guys are mine, the seniors are mine, and we're excited. I think we're pretty damn good. I got quarterback. I got some tailbacks that are fun to watch. I mean, our defense, I gave every scholarship in America to them, and I mean, I wanted to see this team, you know, and now an 8-game schedule that might get tripped up because of the virus. I mean, I want to make sure these kids, you know, I want to make sure the kids have a great experience. And I hope if we do push to spring, the guys going out, you know, don't have a shoddy senior season.
You know, you mentioned recruiting, and there's a couple of questions that I have along the recruiting lines, because, you know, one of the weird parts about all of this is that you got some states that are playing and some states that aren't playing. Are you guys going to be, like, able to hit the road and go recruit the states that are playing during the fall, or are you just going to do it kind of remotely and watch huddle film and reach out that way?
Well, right now it's going to be remote because NCAA has everything shut down since this started. They keep extending the dead period. We cannot go on. Nobody can go on the road. Nobody can come on, student-athlete-wise. Recruits cannot come on your campus. So I don't know when they're going to change that up, you know, because every state's different, you know. That's a quandary. As soon as it happened, as soon as California went, then Washington went, I started getting phone calls, texts from high school coaches asking how we're going to recruit right now.
Yeah.
You know, how our signing day is going to be passed, and my seniors, you know, because we're on half of our guys, two-thirds of our guys are on a watch list, watch them their senior year and see how they do.
Mm-hmm.
How are we going to do it? So I don't know how that's going to work. The NCAA is going to, like I said, have to step in and do something with signing period, contact period, that we can go to those games. You know, it's usually a quiet period then that we can't go out. That we can go watch these guys play and adjust that. So everything else going on with the mighty Coronado, they'll do something.
Bruce Barnum is our guest, head football coach at Portland State. And look, recruiting, and you know this just as well as I do, I call them the vultures. There's a lot of vultures in the recruiting world who will try to sell a pipe dream and tell a kid, you know, I can get you a scholarship or whatever. And I think that a lot of those folks are probably circling right now, seeing that a lot of recruitment is up in the air. As a Division I head football coach, who, you know, you do have a lot of guys that you guys sign end up are guys that they pop their senior year and they get overlooked by some of the Power Five schools. What is your advice to, I guess, a high school kid or a high school parent that may be in limbo right now and, you know, doesn't know what to do with recruitment? What is the best way to maybe get the attention of a guy like you or your staff?
Well, your vultures, we call street agents, you know,
right.
Since they all started, I mean, everybody's an expert on one guy, you know, one kid in America. But we were talking about this the other day, as just my family, Cooper, my youngest, and my wife, we're sitting out there, what do you do now? Because he has some friends, you know, that are underclassmen at Skyview. My first thing was, you know, being a parent, not a coach, I said, well, geez, if you get an offer, I'd commit right away. If you like everything about it, if you like the university, you like what they offer, you know, as far as education, you can see yourself there. I would commit. I wouldn't play the game of, you know, you see it on Twitter. Oh, I got my first offer. Oh, I got my 15th offer today. Well, those offers might disappear in this, you know. So keep working. We will see you. This will work out. We will evaluate you, talking as a coach now. You know, but the classes might be different. You know, I was talking about this with my staff last night. What if you have guys opt out, seniors, that want to go into next year? You know, that's going to take scholarship from next year's class. So how do you handle that? My first response to that is we'll still take a normal class, but you might gray shirt. So, Dusty, I sign you. Hey, congrats. Yeah. Now listen to your family. Congratulations. You're a Viking. I just don't know when you're going to come in. I don't know when your scholarship starts. You know, so gray shirt's going to take over, I think, in the sport, like it already has in junior college with baseball. And you'll be on the team, but you might not be with us next season because I have your scholarship filled. But as soon as that senior leaves, I bring you in. You know, I think it's going to turn into that. Unless a university has unlimited scholarships and the NCAA lets you have, you know, a bigger class with a virus tag on it.
And so, you know, for those that don't understand, the gray shirt, right, is you graduate from high school, you don't go to campus until it's December or whenever that winter term starts and the football season is over and that senior's officially off the books?
Correct. Exactly. That we in the game, we call that gray shirt.
Yeah.
And that's why you started many years ago. That was how they lived.
Barney, how are the boys? I mean, you got two college athletes right now. And they are, they're in a situation where both of them are playing baseball up at Washington State, right? And Cooper is an incoming freshman up at Wazoo. Is that right? And how are they handling all this?
Correct. Brody he's on his way home right now from he played in the Northwoods League this summer. One of the few, wooden bat leagues that are open. You know, the Cape Cod was canceled. Most of them were canceled, but the Northwoods stayed open with a limited schedule. So he's heading back from Minnesota. And, you know, Mindy Cleland, one of her athletes she coached in high school, Mindy helped coach Cooper's baseball team. He's headed out. We bring him over this Thursday, actually, which is kind of odd. You know, and there's a lot going on over there as far as the dorms and, you know, the student population is not reporting, but they are going to bring athletes in. So he's going to kind of report to a ghost town, but Cooper had a chance to play in that Wild West League now that they put together this summer. So we watched some of that.
Nice.
But yeah, it's about to be an empty nest. You know, I'm looking at, okay, I need a trailer. How am I going to get all this stuff over to Wazoo? I'm a parent right now.
Yeah, what are you doing to fill your time right now? I mean, with everything that's going on and, you know, you're not necessarily breaking down as much film as you would be normally. You're not geared up for fall camp. What are you doing to fill your time?
Well, we did a times 1,000 recruiting when this started and the new rule came out about, you know, bounce backs or transfers, grad transfers. We took full advantage of that. That was my first priority on the job side. Other than that, I talked to my boss, Val, and everything's Zoom, so I actually snuck back. I just got back late last night. I went back to see my parents for their 60th wedding anniversary. That was unique in August. But a lot of family time, enjoyed it. The Columbia River smallmouth will be glad when I go back to work. You know, I've caught probably 70% of the population. It's catch and release, but I mean, they're taking just a thrashing from me. I got a garden I'm looking at. I'm obviously not a gardener, Dusty. I'm out here right now, and I've been gone about 5 days, and I've got some onions, but everything else is just a total mess.
Well, farming isn't in your future, Barney. I'm sorry to say you're better at the football thing than you are the gardening thing. Then if all you can grow is a couple of onions where they grow in, you know, down in the Klamath Basin where you don't even need water for it, I think you're struggling right now, my man.
No, Dusty, it's not a couple, okay? It's a few. There's three I'm looking at.
Barney, man, I appreciate the time. You really shed a lot of light on what's going on in the college football world. There's a lot of uncertainty right now. And, you know, it's a fascinating kind of path that you guys are going to be going down this fall and into the spring. And, man, you know, you know how I feel. Go Vikes. And best of luck to you guys in the fall. And hopefully we can catch up again sometime soon.
No, I appreciate you having me, and I appreciate you. And it is. It's a fun, it's a unique thing to watch right now daily. You know, you got right. The players with power. You got so much going on right now in college football and sports in general. So thanks for having me, and go Vikes.
All right. Bruce Barnum, the head football coach at Portland State University. Obviously, I mean, there's a lot to chew on there. I mean, you heard kind of what his guys went through, and like there's a little bit of sense of relief that the college football season, there was a decision. There was finality to the decision last Friday for a lot of those guys and what they were going to be doing. And now it becomes on the coaches and the administration to which direction does this thing go? You know, which avenues do you go down as a university, from recruiting to having guys that opt out and are going to want to come back for the fall of 2021 to prove it in a more traditional sense if they can get to that point? I mean, there is a lot that is on the plate of these guys. And like, I don't envy that to kind of figure out the waters that he has to navigate. But this is, again, we had these kind of texts like sports cannot be relatable very often to a lot of walks of life. And I think in this one, you know, the pandemic has thrown everybody into upheaval, and they're no different what they're going through and trying to reinvent and rethink how their industry is working in college football. Bruce Barnum, head football coach at Portland State. Easy dude to root for, too. Old Barney Ball on the park blocks and out at Hillsborough Stadium. All right, coming up next, let's get into a little basketball. There is zero margin for error, and the Blazers have a couple teams breathing down their neck. Dustin Camp on the Fan. All right, if you missed our interview with Bruce Barnum, head football coach at Portland State, check it out. Leshwad Tires Podcast, 1080thefan.com. We went through kind of everything, how he's going to recruit, how his players were feeling. It was a very good and honest perspective from Division I football coach here in the area. And if you are a parent, you have a kid who's looking to be recruited, I'd take a listen to what Barney had to say. You know, they'll find you. They'll find you. If you got an offer, take it. That's another important one that he gave there too. And what they'll look like moving forward. As far as gray shirting guys, is an option that, you know, is rarely used in the world of college football, but it is something that we may see a lot of with scholarships being limited if the NCAA doesn't change it. The NCAA has to act on that part, though. If you're going to have guys and give them the ability to opt out and come back and play without penalty, you have got to allow schools that can afford it to have more scholarships.
100%. You don't want to create a situation where your turnover or your program building is a reflection of the calendar getting messed up this year.
Yeah. All right. So that'll be posted on the Les Schwab Tires podcast at 1080thefan.com shortly. Let's talk a little NBA, shall we? Big night for the Portland Trailblazers, or I guess day. They have a tilt with the Dallas Mavericks today at 3:30 on TNT. And this game is going to be huge for the Portland Trailblazers. The margin for error for Portland is zero at this point.
Maybe our first must-win post hiatus.
I would say for Portland,
yeah,
every game has mattered, but yeah, this one does feel like it is ramped up, and the magnitude is even more, right? We knew that in heading into it. Remember when we talked to Aaron Gunderson of USA Today in LeBron Wire? He was saying that it would probably be 5-3 is what gets you there. That wasn't anticipating what the Phoenix Suns have done, because what they have done is nothing short of amazing. Devin Booker has been a man on fire right now. He's putting up Dame numbers. He had 35 points last night, and they beat the Thunder, who they were resting everyone. OKC was. I wonder if that's a shot at Portland because they eliminated him last year. You know, that little, all right, we're going to make this tougher on you, okay? And we're going to go ahead and rest our guys right now. But they won 128-101. They are 6-0 in the bubble. And the final two games for Phoenix are the Ben Simmons-less 76ers. And I don't know. I haven't seen an update on Embiid. Have you?
Nor have I, but I mean,
potentially without Embiid as well. And then they wrap it up with the Dallas Mavericks. And here's where it gets sketchy for the Blazers, is that Portland has Dallas tonight. Dallas doesn't have a whole heck of a lot to play for over the final two games. They are locked in to their 7 seed. And what, I mean, if there's a very real possibility, folks, that the Suns go 8-0.
Who saw that coming? I mean, seriously, that is, it sets up for them to do exactly that. Now, I feel like as soon as they realize that, then maybe it's easy to trip up there just expecting to kind of cross the finish line undefeated. But that is, a pretty nice job by that staff and by Devin Booker getting things dialed in, because they are suddenly a serious player for a playoff spot.
Are they? They're not locked into the seven seed, though. Dallas isn't. They're only a game back of Utah. They're only, according to the standings that I've looked at, they're a game back of Utah with two to play. So
they could still move up.
They just did beat Utah last night, and they have Utah's got one game remaining. If they lose to San Antonio, then if Utah loses to San Antonio and Dallas wins their final two games, then all of a sudden they vault them, don't they? I mean, that would only make sense.
Maybe you kind of pretzeled my brain there with all the scenarios, but I think you are correct.
So there is a lot on the line. So the Blazers, if they get the best shot from Dallas tonight, then they got Brooklyn on Thursday to wrap it up, and they will be the very last game in the bubble's regular season. They play the 6 o'clock game on Thursday on TNT. Everybody else in front of them will know their fate and know where they lie. And Portland, folks, they're in for this dogfight. I mean, if you're hoping for anything, you're hoping for 2-0, obviously, from the hometown team. But if Memphis has another hiccup on their schedule, you know, that bodes more than well for the Blazers. And they've got the Boston Celtics to wrap up their, or they have the Boston Celtics tonight. And Boston, they're not really playing for anything right now. So they can't afford to rest a couple of dudes. And Memphis is in a must-win scenario. If Portland can jump them, the best case is that you're that 8 seed and you hold off San Antonio, who's been red hot. You hold off the Suns that have been red hot. And you white-knuckle this thing to the end, and you only have to win one and not two.
And that's, I mean, obviously priority number one is just getting in and making sure you're one of those two play-in teams. But the difference between being the 8 seed and the 9 seed is huge, in that the 8 seed only has to win one game, whereas the 9 seed would have to win two.
I don't think that this, if you're Adam Silver, I don't think you could have drawn this up any better.
It's the way it's playing out is absolutely perfect.
Not only do you have drama at the end, but we've talked about these guys like TJ Warren is one. Michael Porter Jr. went off again for the Denver Nuggets, rather. You've got guys that are playing out. Gary Trent Jr. is one of those guys who's becoming a name across. Kyle Kuzma is knocking down game-winning shots last night for the Los Angeles Lakers. You've got guys that are coming out of nowhere, and they're playing really well. It's high-scoring, entertaining basketball, and I was expecting this to be offense slow to come around. Guys would be clanking shots, but it's not. It's high scoring drama. You've got a lot of S talking. Monty Williams of the Suns was talking about how stairs are starting to get a lot colder in the yacht club where they're all staying. And then you have this element of it too. Chris Haynes, Yahoo Sports and TNT, he had this report yesterday that, have you seen the clean-out scenario for when teams are eliminated?
I did see this, yeah.
So what's going to happen is all of the teams that are on the bubble to get in, on the bubble, in the bubble, right? So Portland,
bubble,
Phoenix, San Antonio, Sacramento, immediately following your final game in the bubble, your bags will be packed, and you will not go back to your room.
It's like an episode of the Bachelor ceremony. It's like you have to, your bag's got to be packed for the rose ceremony, so you're just taking off.
They will give you a lunch, you shower there at the arena, and then you get on a bus and you're gone. Think of this. The Blazers' bags are going to be packed. Every single team's bags are going to be packed.
The Blazers not knowing whether they're staying or going.
On the final day, if you do win and you are in the playoffs, you move into another hotel for the playoffs. So you're gone. Everybody's going to be on the move on the final day, and they should just set up the cameras for
chaos that must be.
A walk of joy or a walk of shame out of the Orlando bubble and onto the bus and going out. The drama's there for the NBA. This bubble has worked out far better than I thought it would. I think that anybody thought it would. And Adam Silver has got to be thrilled with the results so far. I mean, the production value of the games is great. I've adjusted to it, and it is kind of normal to see the fans superimposed on their, you know, the fan section during these games. You've got players that are talking smack to each other. It's escalating. It's getting chippy out there between the teams in the bubble. It is perfect for the NBA, and it's kind of what the sports world needed right now, because you're getting ready for playoff basketball too, and that's going to be a whole different beast. Now, this 8-game seeding has been entertaining and fun. I do think, though, without a home court advantage, the playoffs are going to be missing a little bit of juice. Like, I have just got done saying I've adjusted, it's great, but arena energy is real in the playoffs.
It definitely is, but I think of any of the sports that I've watched so far after our sports hiatus, that they have done a really good job of making the environment look and seem better. I realize it is not going to be a carbon copy. You're not going to have anything close to that, but I do think some of the energy they've provided with actual live fans watching and some of the noise and some of the like kind of graphic art that they put behind that makes it look like your arena, your city. I don't know that you would say there's going to be a significant advantage, but I don't think it doesn't matter at all.
Hearing Mark Mason's voice is kind of refreshing in the bubble there.
Yeah.
You know, you hear Damian Lillard.
Yeah, I like
that. That's a really cool thing that they did.
And they have little ideas like that they've done all along that I think has kind of combined to make one collective very impressive product.
Also, players with more time on their hands, they're doing more interviews. They're interviewing each other, which I think has been fascinating to see. It's kind of like the J.J. Redick podcast is out there, and he's got his hands on every big player in the league right now. And then you have like Damian Lillard, who has more time to be on Twitter and take down trolls like Skip Bayless yesterday, which he's taken all comers. It was Patrick Beverley and Paul George on Sunday night. Yesterday, the sights were set on Skip Bayless, who tweeted out, "I'm still not buying into Dame time," and apparently the Clippers aren't either. Undisputed, 9:30 a.m. FS1. And Dame said, "I've never been buying into nothing about you, fam. You a joke. And after a private convo, full backpedaling, you'll never have my respect, clown." Yes.
I mean, here's the thing. I think anybody who is a media member that wants to do the I'm your boy off the camera, but like on camera, I'm going to do this persona thing, that's got to go a little bit. I know that recently, who was it that accused Kendrick Perkins of doing that? I think it was Lou Williams.
Yeah, he's like former teammate.
He's like, you know what, man? Like, quit talking about me and Magic City and the Wings and all that stuff. Because like, you tell me you're just playing around when I see you in person, but then I hear this, like, I'm tired of it. And that's kind of what Dame's doing to Skip.
Yeah. And then somebody responded to Dame. I love this about Dame is he'll respond to just fans that are out there. Somebody said, "I wonder how Skip would do with a one-on-one convo with LeBron since he's always throwing shade towards him." And Dame responded with, "Ask him what he said when I asked him why you're always hating on LeBron." And this is like, that would be fascinating. I mean, is it just because of content? Because, I mean, there's a lot of things where you see guys like Skip Bayless or Stephen A. Smith where you're like, do you believe that? Because you can't believe that LeBron James is overrated, Skip Bayless.
That's where the shock jock part comes in, where it's like, is this a true belief, or is this just saying something for the sake of making a headline?
Well, the world's starting to find out. All right, we got a big night tonight. Hard Knocks, the return, and we got a double dip. Chargers and Rams. What to expect when Justin Herbert takes center stage as the highlighted rookie in Hard Knocks. Here's Buck with SportsCenter. All right, coming up tonight on HBO, the first episode of Hard Knocks coming our way. Ooh. What great music. And the fact that Liev Schreiber,
you can just feel it,
is the narrator for it. Oh, we're going to hear it.
Gives you the sports tinglies, doesn't it?
Oh, buddy. You know,
when I think about playoffs, my nipples get hurt.
You're dang right in
this. Like
cancer.
When I hear Hard Knocks thing theme, you know?
Yeah. It starts tonight, and we got both the LA teams. And this is going to be a lot different because usually it's just a background. Like, the first episode is just a background of what the teams were last year. We get to meet the new faces and the rookies and all that stuff.
Kind of catching up with some familiar faces, usually.
There is no way that they can do episode one the same way that they normally do, because it is such a different world that these guys are heading into during training camp.
Yeah, I would imagine that they're was a lot less in-person camera access. So now, I don't know, you know, we've seen in some of the meeting rooms and things before how they just have stationary cameras set up. I think we're going to get a ton more of that.
Well, and how about this, that, you know, when you have a lot of the rookies coming in, obviously Justin Herbert has met the coaches before, but a lot of the rookies have never met in person with their coaches ever.
That's crazy.
And that is going to be something that you think about with like the development of storylines and stuff on how this first season is going to go. You're going to have to go through all of the protocols and what it looks like to actually get into a facility, get into a building. And then not only that, but you have two different franchises that you're going to be highlighting. And the guy who's going to be center stage is Justin Herbert. You know, how they are going to follow Justin Herbert around because he is one of the names in the storylines that they are going to be able to get their hooks into before this whole thing started. Like, remember Max Crosby last year was a guy that, who's our Raiders guy down there for Bay Area?
Scott Bear.
Scott Bear was telling us, hey, if you want a guy who you think we think will be profiled, Max Crosby of the Raiders last year was that guy. Because of the fact that they got to know him, reporters and the crew got to know him during mini camps and OTA stuff that they were doing. And they knew we had a personality on our hands with that one. How do you decipher that when these are the first times that all of these guys are getting together? And it's going to be a lot of highlighting veterans, I think.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, is I'm wondering, like, how they, like you said, how do they pick the what are going to be the best personalities to follow rather than just what the obvious football storylines are? Because we're going to figure out the, okay, Justin Herbert is in his first camp and here he is taking a rep. Like, that's something that I think we can count on. It's what's going to be the ancillary stuff, where are there going to be cameras allowed, what stories are even, is the crew even going to be aware of, because we don't know what their proximity to these players is even going to be like.
Well, and that's the hard part for this as well, as you have a team that was just on a couple of years ago. The Rams are going to be a focal point of this. So how much are you going into Jared Goff again, or how much of the storyline can you get into with Cooper Kupp, who we got to know on the last one, or Aaron Donald, those types of guys where it's like, all right, yeah, kind of been there, done that. Is it going to be very Chargers heavy?
I also have a question for you. Do you think Justin Herbert is interesting enough that they will feature him very much?
Yes, because I think what they're going to try to do is, I believe one of the storylines for Hard Knocks will be how Justin Herbert didn't have a good personality, and that was a knock on him going into the draft and throughout his college, and he wasn't like that boisterous guy like a Joe Burrow. And they're going to try to kind of debunk
take him out of his shell a little
cerebral
bit,
cerebral nature and all that stuff. Yeah.
Now, I also have a question about the nickname. Is it going to be Herbo? Didn't we discuss this?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah.
We don't think it's going to be Herbie.
Turbo Herbo, is that what they're going on?
What was the one we had a good texter, Herbolt? Was that the other one?
Yeah.
The Herbolt?
But your name's got to change if you ever get traded.
Yeah, that wouldn't work anymore.
I just hope it's not a boring year, because some of the things that I love about Hard Knocks is when they get to follow him home and they get to follow him off the field.
Agreed.
And the guys go out and they do things like going body surf. Last time the Rams were on it, they went body surfing down in San Clemente.
Or the dude's horseback riding last year.
Yeah, you're not going to get any of that, because guess what? They're not leaving. They're little training camp bubbles. So I hope it's just not boring. But also, you may have like a more of a frat house feel to the way the training camp goes on. It's going to be a fascinating year. What a year to have profile two teams as well, because you have two different views on how the teams are handling their protocols. And is it really truly standardized throughout the NFL?
I'm really interested to see. I like this two-team concept anyways, but I think seeing how they are, I mean, being able to directly oppose how each team handles the current situation from a football standpoint, from a protocol standpoint, and see if there are significant differences, or if they are, and really what the attitudes are like. I'll be interested to see if the players are pushing forward as if they are totally expecting to play, or if there's kind of a feel of a going through the motions because we're not really sure.
I just hope that we don't see a lot of J.J. Watt Superman workout montages, you know, because that was the Houston Texans was such a boring year that they resorted to like 3-minute montages of J.J. Watt
him, like, working out at dusk.
Yeah. Golly. But Hard Knocks starts tonight. Sign me up. I'm going to be interested in episode number one. It just goes in a loaded sports day that we have, starting at 3:30, Blazers, Mavericks locally. Then you have 5:30, the Timbers in Orlando City. And then you got Hard Knocks to cap off the night, huh? Sports are back in a big way. All right, let's get into this little baseball chatter. A playoff bubble? Is that a thing? And Ramon Laureano just became a legend. Dusty and Cam on the Fan.
Whiskey bottles and brand new cars. Oak tree, you're in my way. There's too much cold.
All right, big day in college football coming up. The Pac-12 presidents and ADs will be meeting in a conference call today, in all likelihood, voting on the fate of the college football season. John Wilner of the San Jose Mercury News has been pushing for a delay of an announcement, not a postponement, to the spring. And there is kind of a growing sentiment across college football reporting world that will be the likely answer. So we will discuss that coming up at the top of next hour. Plus, where the hell's Larry Scott in all of this? Because we hear Greg Sankey. Greg Sankey is going out on Good Morning America, and he's speaking up. Hasn't been a good few days for Commissioner Scott because of the report that came out, and we talked to Kyle Bonaguro of ESPN yesterday about how his conference call went with the We Are United front. And if you missed that interview, boy, there were some pretty interesting quotes that Bonaguro had about what Larry Scott was saying to the student athletes on We Are United and how he's handling that situation.
Really eye-opening stuff. That interview is definitely worth going back for. Some of the stuff, flabbergasted is a word that I might use.
Ooh.
There. I mean, it really, some of the things Larry Scott was saying about the generational wealth and the facade that the players are putting up, surprising.
Yeah, calling it a PR stunt.
Yeah.
A misguided PR stunt on the players' behalf. Good stuff from Bonaguro yesterday. So check that out. Les Schwab Tires podcast at 1080thefan.com. And then we'll hear from Dr. Dave Petron, who is the team doctor for the University of Utah. He is on a student athlete medical advisory board for the Pacific 12 Conference. And he did an interview with ESPN 700 in Salt Lake City and talked about what recommendations that board was handing over to Larry Scott last night. It is in the hands of the decision makers of the Pac-12, and reports this morning are that it's, quote, eye-opening what that report has in it as far as what it's going to take for college football to happen. So you'll hear from the doctor's mouth himself as we got a few clips. And then college football coaches are speaking out, man, and in a big way. And going against their bosses, the university presidents, and a lot of the decisions that have been made so far. So we'll hear all of that coming up at the top of the next hour. But Major League Baseball is finding that bubbles work in the NBA, and bubbles work in the NHL, and in the MLS, and in the NWSL. And so we now have a report that after their issues that they've had so far, with baseball's kind of restart and getting back and having two teams shut down for extended periods of time, that Major League Baseball, according to Jeff Passan, is having preliminary discussions about holding their postseason in a bubble-type format.
This isn't completely surprising to me. I mean, I know they kicked around the idea of a bubble before the restart even happened, when they were having some of those labor and contract negotiations between the league and the Players Association. But I think it frankly makes a lot of sense because we've seen how effectively it has worked in these other sports. Now, it's more difficult because of the way that series are played in baseball. You don't have, I think, any obvious area where you can house all these, baseball field. People are looking at spring training facilities. Mm-hmm. But I think once you start to pare down that number, it becomes even more manageable, a bubble concept, that is, with fewer teams in it. So it wouldn't surprise me at all to assure that this season finishes that they go down that road.
And they have expanded the playoff too, where you have 16 teams that are in now. And what is, in all likely, the scenario that they'd go with is you would have three hub cities for your opening round. Then you pare it down to two. And then obviously the World Series played in one bubble hub. But then here's my question. And if you're pushing back the season and getting it later into the year, if that is something that will have to become a reality to get games in, where do you determine where you play this? Because here is the big part about baseball that playing in their home stadiums makes sense is that the dimensions are different and rosters are built to win at home. That's why home field advantage means something.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Especially like a, I mean, not that they were going to be competitive, but a team like the Giants who plays in a big park, they're now trying to get away and have been trying to get away from that Barry Bonds mold of like big power here. That's not going to work in that park. So they try to build their lineup around speed. And but then you've got teams like the Yankees who know they got short porches all over the place and they just want a club.
You know, we do have legends coming out in baseball, though, as the playoff bubble, I guess they're talking about that. And it makes sense. But Ramon Laureano of the Oakland Athletics.
Yes.
He's quickly getting to legendary status. It turns out he did an interview yesterday and he was talking about how what made him so upset that Alex Cintrone, the Astros hitting coach, where Laureano charged the Astros dugout. Because there was smack talk coming from the dugout.
After Laureano was drilled by a pitch, not once, not twice, but three times throughout the series.
Ooh, I will say this. Laureano did say he doesn't believe that any of them were intentional.
Any of them?
Yeah.
So he was just tired of it.
Well, I would be too. You got hit three times.
Well, no, I get that. But so then why, if he didn't think they were intentional, why the jawing?
Because he doesn't want a suspension as long as it's probably going to be. And he said, look, it is warranted. A suspension is warranted. He gets it. He was upset at himself that he lost his cool. But he said Cintrone said something about his mom. And I have no idea. Don't you think that we'd have a live mic somewhere in a fanless ballpark to
hear
exactly what
was
said?
That's exactly what A's manager Bob Melvin said. He said that, listen, there are no fans in the stands and our coverage is really good and we have microphones everywhere. So I know that Ramon wouldn't have gone over there unless something really inflammatory came from that dugout. And I have a belief that we're going to find out pretty quickly who and what exactly was said.
Well, he went down the road I'm upset that I went after him because he's a loser.
I love that response.
You know what? It is a loser move to talk S from the dugout.
I went to fight that guy because he's a loser.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's why he regrets going is because you don't go and fight a loser.
Oh.
You're supposed to let the loser just be a loser.
He should have let him just be a loser.
Yeah, absolutely. And instead, he went and tried to fight him. And he says, look, I'm going to get a suspension. I get it. And let me go on the record as saying that I believe whatever suspension Ramon Laureano gets, it should be threefold for Cintrone and the Astros.
Yeah, what, again, I said this yesterday, but what is a coach doing stoking the flames of a confrontation like that? The coach should be helping mitigate the situation, not, you know, make it worse.
It's been a brutal, brutal run for the Houston Astros lately.
Your team sucks.
Yeah, they do. Beat your team last night, though.
I know. I knew that was coming.
All right. I just want to get that out there.
Facts.
Yep. But Laureano, I side with you, Ramon Laureano. Alex Cintrone is a loser for talking S about your mom, no less, in the dugout. But I don't really mind that you went after him because it kind of highlighted how douchey my favorite team has been over the last, well, since November of last year when all this came out.
Just what kind of losers they employ.
Come on, man. All right, let's get to back to college football. There's a big day in the Pac-12 today. A report was given from their medical advisory board to the decision makers in the conference. That is being digested today, and a conference call and potentially a vote on what's going to happen in the season will be coming out and expected later this afternoon. But hear from Dr. Dave Petron, who is the Utah team doctor and on the medical advisory board. He did an interview yesterday. What it's going to take to have a Pac-12 season. This is from a doctor who is, now it should be noted, he's one of 12 on their medical advisory board. So we know everybody thinks differently, but hear from his mouth what it's going to take from a testing standpoint, from a isolation, quarantine, and safety standpoint. We'll hear from the Utah team doctor, plus next hour as well. College football coaches, I don't know if they have any authority to do this, but they're saying, nah, screw it. We'll leave our conference and play whoever will play us this year. Dustin Cam on the Fan.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.